Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay? We can do it again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And of course, the first thing you notice about that is that the fruit is singular. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. In other words, when we have the Holy Spirit, we should have something of each of these qualities in our lives to some extent or another. Obviously, we have different levels of it. Some of us seem to be kinder than others. Others of us have more patience than others have. But as Christians, we should all have something of that fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit should be growing in each one of us all the time. This morning, we've already done love and we've done joy. So this morning, we're thinking about peace. And we could ask the question, what is peace? And certainly in the Old Testament, the meaning of peace really is a wholeness, a completeness, a well-being, a fullness of life, if you like. Isaiah looks forward to the age to come when there will be an age of ongoing peace. Let me read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 11. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The ox will lie down in each straw with the lion. The infants will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child puts his hand into a viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we know that that isn't the case now, don't we? It isn't. When we look at the world around us, newspapers, television, social media, there's anything but peace. Let me just run through a quick number of pictures which illustrate the way that some people sort of live. Do I change them up? Yeah. The sort of things that happen in life which we wish didn't happen. The sort of states that people get into. And you could go on and on and on. That's the sort of thing that is happening in our world. And this morning, in a way, we want to paint a picture of the exact opposite of that. I wonder if I was going to ask you, and I haven't got them, but if you were going to suggest pictures or a painting or something which would suggest peace, what would you say? What suggests peace to you in a painting or a picture? A dove. Yeah, God's representation of the peace coming down from heaven. Meadows, wildflowers, mountains, and any people there, or just the mountain? Any others? A baby sleeping. Yes. Anything else? lying on a beach, a lovely sunset. You could go on, couldn't you? There are lots of things. I read a story of an art class who was asked to do pictures of peace. They were asked to create a picture of what peace was all about. And there was those sort of things, like a meadow, like mountains, like an iceberg or something like that, like the sea just going, the sun setting, and all those different things. And one person did a storm at sea, a ship being tossed around in the waves. And the examiner who was looking at it looked at all of them, and they're trying to establish where people were coming from. And this one seemed to be out of place until he looked more carefully. And he could see that in the back of the boat, there was a man standing there. And then as he looked more carefully, he could see that in the man's arms, there was a child. And he was holding the child in his arms firmly. And there was a ray of light on the child's face. And the child was at total peace, even in the midst of the storm, because he was in his father's arms. And you know, that's a picture, really, of what peace is all about. Peace is often hard to find, isn't it, these days? We live in a busy society. We live in a society of cities, of stressed jobs, broken relationships, addiction problems. We've seen a lot on the news recently of students' mental health and the problems that's causing. We see of wars around the world in different places. And people do seek peace and want peace. Can we have the PowerPoint, John? Peace. That's what people would like. I'm sure if you spoke to most people, they'd say that they wanted peace in their lives. And peace can be broken down, really. Peace with other people. Peace in life's difficulties, a little bit like the child in the back of the boat. Peace with ourselves. And peace with God. And you know, oftentimes that's the order that people put peace in. I've heard people say, coming right towards the end of their lives, well, I've made peace with my Maker. I've made my peace with my Maker, as if everything then is all right. But as we look at peace this morning, I want to suggest that biblically, that's the wrong order. And that biblically, that's the order we should be looking at. Firstly, peace with God. Secondly, peace with ourselves. Thirdly, peace in life's problems or difficulties. And then finally, peace with other people. So let's have a look at those. Firstly, peace with God. And I think as we look at the Bible, that's the starting point for each one of us. Although Genesis 1 and 2 doesn't actually mention peace, it does say that God created men and women to be in fellowship and in harmony, both with God and with each other. Think of that verse in Genesis chapter 1, I think it's 28, when it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. He looked out over it, and there was nothing wrong. Everything was just as he wanted it to be at that point in time. But we know what happened, don't we? Men and women went their own way instead of God's way. It led to breakdown in fellowship, alienation, lack of peace, both with God and with each other. Remember Isaiah later on said that we've all gone astray like lost sheep. Paul puts it in Romans, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And then later on in Ephesians, when he was talking about our relationship with God and spiritual things, he said, we're all dead in our transgressions. We're separated from God by the things that we've done. And he goes on to develop that thought in chapter 2. And he says these words. Remember, and he's talking to Christians, he's talking to the Ephesian Christians, but he says to them, remember, at one time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. And that's how the Bible defines it. Peace with God is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're striving for it ourselves and trying to get peace with God by the way we do and what we do and the way we behave, we're not going to get it. Peace with God comes through Jesus, who died on the cross to take our sin, to pay the penalty for what we've done wrong, and to allow us to come back into fellowship with God. I think I'm right in saying that a couple of weeks ago, it might have been on a Thursday evening when we were looking at it in the evangelism, Craig was presenting Jesus dying on the cross. And he was showing us the time when Jesus died on the cross, and he brought in the temple, and he said in the temple there's a huge curtain between the rest of the temple and the Holy of Holies, where God's presence is. In other words, where they saw God to be. And nobody could go in there except once a year, the high priest who cleansed himself and who had gone in. And Craig pointed out that when Jesus died, at the instant Jesus died, this curtain, which people have said is probably was probably about this thick, it was a huge curtain, was torn in two. In other words, it gave men and women the opportunity to come into God's presence. As it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, that curtain represented the dividing wall of hostility between men and women and God, and men and women of each other. And Jesus abolished it. He tore it down. He gave us the opportunity to come to him. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus brought that opportunity that we might have peace with God, that we might be reconciled to him. Paul later on in Colossians put it very similar, but this way. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed upon the cross. Peace in life in general, whatever you're looking for, any of those, have to start with peace with God. Being forgiven, being united with him, and reconciled to him. The dividing wall of hostility has been broken down. It's removed. It's been shattered when Jesus died on the cross. And that peace with God is open to each one of us. That was the sort of illustration I was trying to get over with the children. There is a missing piece in a jigsaw. There's a missing piece in the world. And there are some of those at the back. If you'd like one, do take one. If you want some help to go through it and some explanation of it, talk to someone and get them to a Christian and get them to explain it to you and what it says. Secondly, is peace with ourselves. And you know, you can tell that many people lack this. You know, looking at the television and the people whose lives are in turmoil, the stress that people go through, the breakdown in family life, the suicidal problems. And it's fairly obvious, or it is to me, that if we haven't got peace with God, it's difficult to have peace within ourselves. But you know, sadly, even some Christians aren't at peace within themselves. And that's what this passage about the fruit of the Spirit is about, that we'll have peace within ourselves. You know, if Jesus has brought us peace with God, then surely he's brought us peace within ourselves as well. You know, if God loves us, then surely we can love ourselves. If God thinks that we're worth dying for and he sent Jesus to die for us, surely we as Christians ought to have a positive self-worth, because we're worth something to God. Jesus came and died for us. If, as the Bible says, God has forgiven us because of what Jesus did on the cross, surely we can forgive ourselves for anything we've done. And you know, many people, many Christians will accept that God's forgiven them, but they still hang on to something within themselves where they themselves haven't forgiven themselves. You know, in every one of Paul's 13 letters, he starts with a greeting of grace and peace from God our Father. Actually, that's wrong, he doesn't. In the two letters to Timothy, he starts with grace, mercy, and peace. But in all 13, he wants his readers to have the peace of God in their lives. He says, look, you know God. Jesus has died for you. You've given your life to him. You've got peace with God. You need to know his peace in your heart and in yourself. Jesus himself was the Prince of Peace. That's what Isaiah said. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. The song that we sang was directly from John chapter 14 and verse 27. There's a verse, I'm sure, which you know in Philippians, where it talks about rejoicing in the Lord, praying in all circumstances, not being anxious. And then it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a peace which comes from God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you know, when we become Christians, the Bible tells us that we immediately receive God's Spirit. In Ephesians, Paul talks about it being a deposit in our lives, the Holy Spirit. He says, and you who were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You know, if we're Christians this morning, you've received the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you don't need more of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you don't need filling with the Holy Spirit. But if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. And you should be allowing the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, to grow in each of these aspects which we spoke about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. But in this area of peace, God just wants to breathe his peace into our lives. I'm sure you know the hymn. It's Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Lovely, I think it's the fourth verse, I'm not sure. It says, drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Sorry? Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. And you know, that's what God wants for each of us as Christians. Thirdly, peace in life's difficulties, which perhaps isn't always that easy. These days, there's something called the prosperity gospel, which people in America and particularly these TV evangelists sort of offer. And it goes something like, if you become a Christian, your problems will be over. God will bless you. You have no financial problems, no cares in the world. Everything will flow just... That's not right. It's wrong. It's a false gospel. Because Jesus said very clearly, over and over again, but he said very clearly in John's gospel, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And you know, it goes on through what the verses which I often enjoy correcting people on when they quote wrongly. And I don't know whether you've ever had people say it to you. Oh, well, the sun shines on the righteous. Have you ever, people ever said it to you? It's a misquote, isn't it? It doesn't say that. It says the sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. And God brings rain to the good and the evil. In other words, God treats people in the same sort of way. It doesn't mean that we've become Christians and that life will be easy. Jesus said I think he said it in all the Gospels, he said in Luke, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, taking up the cross means suffering and pain, and in Jesus' case, death. And he's saying to us as Christians that that might be our lot. We live in a world where there's sin and sickness and death, where man has free will. And that leads to all sorts of things, doesn't it? Disappointment, sadness, bereavement, illness, accident, broken relationships. You can bring all of these things in. And yet, God allows these. I don't believe God brings those into our individual lives. But God allows them to come into our lives. And in fact, he works through them. There's a lovely little poem. You know these little cards you get? Which says, God has not promised skies always blue. There's another line, and this is a slightly different one. God has not promised skies always blue, pure pathway all the way through. Sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, an undying love. You know, in whatever circumstances we are, God wants to give us his peace. Little bit like that child in the arms of his father on the back of a boat. God wants us to rest in his arms. Remember the angels on that first Christmas said that he came to bring peace to all on whom his favour rests. Again, Isaiah, who goes through, he said, God will keep in perfect peace him or her whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. In other words, as we keep our minds fixed upon God and trust in him, no matter what the circumstances, we know that God is working those through. We can find his peace in that. Because ultimately, we have a hope, don't we? We have a hope that one day there will be peace. This glorious, wonderful peace. And all striving and pain will be over. So peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace in life's difficulties, but finally, peace with each other. I wonder whether you'd say that was the hardest or the easiest of those. Sadly, it's sometimes the hardest, isn't it? And yet it shouldn't be. If we've got peace with God, if we've got peace within ourselves, if we've got peace through all the difficulties of life, then peace with other people really should flow out from that, shouldn't it? And it's not an option. It's not something we pick or choose. We can't have the first three and then say, oh, well, I won't bother with the last one there. You know, Jesus told us, look back in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that he'd been talking about anger. But then he says this, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother and sister, and then offer your gift. In other words, if we're not at peace with one another, God's not interested in the gifts that we offer him. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus also said, love your enemy. You know, he said, you've heard, it's easy to love your neighbor, love your friends, but also love your enemy and those around you. And going on, go on into Paul, a couple of quotations from Paul, Romans chapter 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Sometimes that's difficult. But Paul's saying, if it's possible, as long as do everything in your power to live at peace with those around you. And then particularly writing to Christians in Ephesians, he said, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In other words, if we're not at peace with one another, we break that unity of the Spirit. As Christians, we ought to have peace with fellow believers. And I would say that it's especially with fellow believers. You know, we ought to have peace with everyone, but especially we ought to be at peace with one another. Peace within our families. We ought to strive to be at peace with one another. And then peace with people around us. It is hard. We do live in busy, stressful lives. Sometimes there's tension. Sometimes we're the cause of a lack of peace. Other times we aren't. I'm sure we can all take situations. I think the situation which is perhaps most difficult, in which most of us lose it, is when we're driving our cars. How often, and I'm guilty, does somebody beep their horn at you and you respond by beeping your horn back to them? Or we do, don't we? If we're really being at peace, doesn't matter if people beep their horn. Just let them be, you know. I'm okay. I know what I'm doing was all right, even if I did go around the wrong roundabout in the wrong lane, you know. Be at peace with those around you. Jesus often said, and he often uses a greeting, peace be with you. Go in peace. And it's a lovely thought, isn't it? If we strive as we go out, if we allow God's Spirit to come into our hearts, and we want to go out to be at peace with each other and those around us. It says that God is the God of peace. And he wants us to have peace. And so as we look at those, I mean, firstly, have you got peace with God? Do you know Jesus as your Saviour? And don't forget that. That's a lovely booklet which tells us how we can have that peace with God. If we have got peace with God, we ought to have peace within ourselves. And he wants us to to rise above life's difficulties and to know his peace even in those circumstances, and then to go out and be instruments of peace. What was the make me a channel of your peace? He wants to be channels of peace. You know, if as Christians we can't be peaceful and allow God's peace to flow through us as a channel, what hope does it give people who aren't Christians of being peaceful in this world? Let's pray together. And let's, as we pray, just pray for the world around us and the difficult situations and the lack of peace which people find. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promises in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us through Jesus upon the cross, through his resurrection from the dead, and Lord, through the gift of your Holy Spirit into our lives. And Lord, we know that we're still not the people that we ought to be. We know, Lord, that we've got a long way to go, and the Lord, we do make a mess of things. But we too know, Lord, that you've given us every opportunity to be the people that you want us to be people of peace in the world today, to be different from the world around us. Lord, make us into those channels of your peace as we go out into the world. And Lord, we do pray for the world around us. We pray for our city. We pray for the people who are struggling in our city, thinking particularly of homeless people, thinking of people who, it was on television this week, they are suffering from the coming in of universal credit. We pray, Lord, for our government, our country. We pray for the world too, where there's war and strife and anger. And Lord, we pray for young people particularly who struggle in this world. And Lord, think of the reports of suicide levels and mental health among students and people of younger age groups. And Father, we want to pray for them. Pray, Lord, for not just for us as Christians, but for Christians in general, Lord, for your church. That your church, capital C, your church worldwide, might be a channel of your peace into our world today. And so, Father, we give you thanks and we come to you and pray, Lord, that you'd continue to work in us by your Spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen.